Good evening, friends. Sorry about that. Sam, please tell me if you can actually hear me this time. My name is Cody, and welcome to another edition of Corporate Crash Course. I will be your game master for this here session of Vazen, in which we're going to continue the adventures of our intrepid pioneers as they make their way through Northern Canada. I'm joined, as always, by my friends Mike and Zoe.
Say hello.
Hi, there you go.
I'm Zoe.
I'm Mike.
No. We've done this joke before. It doesn't work, especially if people can see this.
I don't think we did. Did we?
We did. We. Zoe,
prove
I listened
it.
To all
it.
Our episodes for the podcast, and we've done this joke before.
Uh-oh. We're already rerunning.
That's fine.
Yeah.
So we're going to play some more Vazen. Last time you guys made your way up to the lovely town of Bruce Mines. Found that a mine has disappeared.
Yeah, but we're going to find it.
Mines don't disappear. But it just get up and walk away?
Maybe.
What if a witch built a cabin on top of it and then suddenly it grew chicken legs and walked away?
Yeah, it sprouted them and just kind of like walked away.
That's probably it. See, we've already solved it. We don't even need to play for the next 2 hours.
Done deal. It's over. We've figured it out. Next quest. Come on.
All right. We'll just play a bunch of copyrighted music and have a dance party for 2 hours, okay?
Cool.
Nobody's
yes.
here. So,
hunting for the mine.
Yes. Yes. So, you guys had basically gone out there. It was late at night. You went with Jago. Okay, who is Rumham 6969? Who is that? I've seen him before. Whoever you are, you're great. I appreciate you. And if it turns out to be Sam, I'm going to be sad.
It's not Sam.
Okay.
I have a turkey named after him.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, Rumham.
Okay. Yeah, so you guys went out late to the site with Jago, and I believe you had decided to turn in, but we could pick it up basically still there. It's dark, it's late, you're at the site of the mine, which, yes, has inexplicably disappeared.
And we tried touching it, and it's not there.
Correct. I believe you tried walking into it. And
put our hands out, reached for it.
I think we also threw a rock into the mine shaft.
Yep, into the hole.
And it was deep.
Yeah. All right, I'm good to come back tomorrow. If you are.
Yep.
I've got nothing else to check out tonight.
Tomorrow it is. Did we confirm if we have accommodations here?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I feel like we should say that you do. The town manager, Lori, would have given you guys a key to a...
Town has a manager?
Well, yes, because I believe I explained this more last game, but effectively the town is operated by the Montreal Mining Company. Mm-hmm. So even though it's an incorporated town, it's not... Like, it doesn't have, like, a legislature, per se, because the whole town is effectively owned by a mining company. So, it has a manager. Great.
Got it.
Capitalism for you. But the upside is, they own all the houses and give you a house for your time up here.
Cool.
Yeah. Very small. Single room. It's got two beds and like a small
like twin beds on either side of the room or bunk beds?
Bunk beds. Because it's a mining cabin.
Nice. You want top bunk or bottom bunk?
I don't care.
I call top bunk.
I will lay down on the bottom bunk.
It's got a little wood-burning stove. It is getting cold. It's getting on late October. I believe we have decided, or into November.
Well, it is now.
Yep.
Snows are coming.
Yeah, if we haven't had them already up here. What time of day is it? It's dark, obviously.
Yep. So it's just, I'd say just before midnight.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That feels like time for bed.
Yeah. Bedtime.
Cool. Next morning, you're starting to hear activity milling around the town. Still dark out, but people are, you know, getting ready to go to work, probably about 5 o'clock. I assume at least Eagle is probably a light sleeper, and so probably notices this. You don't have to do anything about it, just mentioning it as something that would probably wake him. Yeah, do with that info what you will. You know, just kind of keep sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Sun comes up about 7:30, we'll say, because we are getting into the later half of the year. And yeah, what time do you guys want to get up?
Until
the sun starts shining.
Yeah. I'll snooze until I feel the whole bunk bed jostle from Eagle getting up.
Should be once it's light enough to see without a candle or a lantern.
Perfect. Okay, so yeah, about 7:30. You guys start milling about. There is a small set of provisions in your kitchenette, I would say. You probably have like a can of baked beans or two. Maybe there's a couple eggs on the counter. Hey, DSZ. Good to see you, buddy. Probably it. You don't really have, you don't have a fridge or anything.
We have the outdoors.
You do?
Yep.
All right. Let's go find this mine.
Tell them. Mine.
Where are you guys going to go to do that?
I would like to go where the mine is, please.
Great. Game it's 7:30. You step out of your little house, and there's not much activity really going on around the town. Like I mentioned, everybody kind of moved out to go to work earlier in the day. So the people that are still kind of around are a few school children, maybe some of the women who are up there, kind of getting, I don't know, going about their to their jobs or their duties. And so it's a little bit quiet. I know I'm trying not to be terrible when I say that, but thanks for that look, Mike.
Sorry, my sound just cut out. I didn't hear a word you said.
Oh, okay.
That was he was trying to figure out technology. He was making sexist remarks.
It was wild.
You step out of your door, and the mine is right there. Problem solved. Mystery over.
Perfect.
You fall into it, though, and now I need to get you out.
No, that is not the case. So, yeah, you guys got to kind of tell me how you want to go about this investigation.
Our way over to the mine, or where the mine should be.
So you're going to go back to the...
To the hole.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I can't remember if Jago said he would bring you back over. Huh?
Is that hot chocolate?
No, it's tea.
Oh, lame.
My throat has been not happy.
Yeah, Jago said he would help us in any way he possibly could, and he also offered to financially support us for the next 3 months.
I don't think that's what happened, but I will say at least he decided to go back with you to the mine this morning, probably.
I thought he also volunteered to go into any, caverns or tunnels first, just to make sure that there's no traps or anything.
Okay.
He did promise us that. It was a full, three-way pinky swear.
Uh-huh.
Pretty cool, honestly.
Yeah, you guys cut each other's palms open and spin on it and everything? Is that what
No, happened? We sliced our pinkies open, then wrap them all together, all three of us.
That sounds like more work and probably more blood.
Yeah, but it makes the promise more concrete.
I feel like a pinky wouldn't bleed as much as a palm.
No. And, like, it wouldn't, like, impede on your regular day-to-day as much, because you just stick your pinky out when you're doing your stuff. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, on your palm, you're like, my hot coffee's hurting my hand.
Yeah, but then it's supposed to keep reminding you of the promise and the pact.
Nah, the blood inside the blood's what does that. It's in your brain now.
The blood is how you get AIDS, but okay. Anyway.
Not in the 1800s.
You know, we don't have AIDS.
No, we just have, like, typhoid.
We don't make promises with people that carry diseases.
Well, that's racist, but okay.
No, it's not. Are you trying to imply that only certain races carry
diseases? Anyway, Django pop. Django shows up with his truck, picks you guys up, takes two
Django?
Oxygen to my
you mean family. Jago?
Is what?
Jago. Jago, whatever.
With his what?
With his truck.
His truck.
Oh, right. This is 1850. He doesn't have a truck. God.
With his wagon that he pulls by hand.
With his walking stick.
He walks with you to the mine.
Hey,
oh, look, Nick. Hi, Nick.
Yeah. I'd like to imagine it's like one of those, it's just a two-seater carriage, and he's holding on to the bars of it and just running.
Oh, it's a rickshaw, yeah.
Like a rickshaw.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
I can't
imagine walking
him being rickshawed around.
He probably can't afford a rickshaw.
Anyway, you guys get back to the mine shaft.
Yeah, so there's like, because there's the central shaft, right? But there's also, like, is there, like, a staircase or something down into, like, the upper level where all the equipment would be stored?
That is a good question. Oh, I didn't keep that picture. Yeah, there must have been. So there would have been, or at least some kind of an elevator. I guess 1850 probably wouldn't have been an elevator. It would have been a staircase. So, yeah, we'll say that the staircase would have gone from kind of the pump house down. So you can kind of see, based on the outline of the foundation, there's a staircase going into the ground from there.
And that's still there?
The staircase going down is, yes. It's looking a little dusty. It's maybe got some other kind of debris in it. But it's there, and it's not blocked.
Should we take a look inside the mine?
Okay. All right.
Let's descend.
And...
hold on, I'm just going to make sure that I pull a reference picture up so that I know what the hell I'm talking about again. Because otherwise, I'm going to feel like a great big idiot. I can't find one. So I'm going to go from memory. So yeah, so you go down, the stairs go down for a ways. We'll say it's about like kind of 5 minutes heading down. It kind of doglegs a little bit, keeps going down, and then it opens into a flat level plane. So I know when we talked about this last time, the way this mine is kind of designed is in effectively like parallel levels, right? And do they run parallel to the ore bed itself? So there's a main shaft that runs parallel, and you effectively have perpendicular lines that go through the rock to then get at the actual ore bed. right? And so on each level, you might have 3, 4, 5 different perpendicular cuts in from the shaft that actually get to the main ore section. And then it leads to a descending spiral, effectively, down to the next layers and down to the drop-off area, I guess, where the ore then gets crushed and then sent back up the shaft. Does that make sense?
Okay. I think so.
So you come down off the stairs. Also, what are you using for light?
Doggo probably brought us a lantern, right? Because he's such a kind fellow.
Playing this way, eh? Okay. Sure.
And he made such great promises to us to help
us
out.
He's got one with candle.
Nice.
And I guess, clear to his word, he walks down in front of you guys, showing you the staircase down, and then the shaft.
It was so kind of him to do this for us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, it was. Now, obviously, nothing in the mine is running right now. The pump does not actually have any kind of power going through it. So nothing's being crushed. There's nobody else down here, right? And as Jago kind of brings you into the first level, the first kind of like flat level of the mine. And he's just explaining again, yeah, it's what's known as a hard copper mine. They pull out a bunch, they break it up, send it up to the surface. That's all I kind of got for the moment, and then you guys got to tell me what you want to look for.
Is the equipment still here?
Ooh, good point.
Yes.
So it didn't affect the mine itself, just the, what's the word I'm looking for? The thing up at the top.
Yeah.
The mine head.
Yes.
Okay. How many buildings have gone missing?
So just the two. It's the mine head and the actual, like, pump house.
Was anyone working when the mine disappeared?
Nope. Nope, it happened overnight. We were all home. Because work stops at, work stops when it gets dark. Or just before it gets dark.
Makes sense. You'd light down at a mine.
It's more for the people up top, but if there's nobody that's staying up top, then there's no point in us staying down here.
Has anyone started acting weird or anything since the mine went missing, or right before the mine went missing?
Define weird.
Not how they usually act.
Well, not before the mine went missing, but obviously since the mine's been missing, and you know, a lot of the men have, or well, some of the men have kind of lost work for the time being. A bunch of them are starting to, you know, hit the bottle and whatnot, but
someone died at the mine?
I mean, not since I've been working here. But it's a mine. It's a dangerous place. I'm sure someone's died.
Pull out my crystal ball. I would like to speak to a dead miner.
Okay.
Don't you shake your head at me.
Eagle will roll his eyes as he usually does when you start doing this.
Jaga would look at Eagle and be like, is this normal for her? Is she acting weird now that the plane's gone?
She's always acting weird.
You don't say much, do you, buddy? Do you like moose hunting?
Yes.
Well, I mean, good, because it's kind of about the only thing there is to do up here. Maybe if you're feeling like it later on, I could see if someone will take you up to the old 50 Island Waters, a little north of here. It's the best spot for moose this side of Sault Ste. Marie.
Okay.
Cool. Okay, so you're doing your seance. We're waiting.
I got two successes to speak with a dead miner.
Okay. You close your eyes and you reach out with your spiritual essence to the ethereal plane, and you feel the presence of a spirit attached to the mine, a rather angry and resentful spirit, which comes to you and begins to speak and says, "Oh, golly jeepers, miss, what are you doing?"
"I'm looking for the mine."
"Well, I don't understand what that means. The mine's right here."
"No, it's not. It's missing."
"Well, I mean, I don't know nothing about that. No, nothing, ma'am."
"Did you see anything on the night of... Hey, Jago, when did the mine go missing again?"
"Well, I went missing like a month ago, ma'am."
"Did you see anything on the night of a month ago when the mine went missing?"
"Well, I mean, no. The problem here, ma'am, is that I died in the mine like 2 years ago."
"Yeah, but your soul's been here, right?"
"Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean that souls see everything. I mean, I kind of...
watch over this mine?"
"No."
"Oh my god.
I'm too busy, you know. I was a 13-year-old
kid." "Busy with what? You're dead."
"Who died down here, and I was, you know, and I was busy thinking about all the great women's ankles I saw and stuff."
"So this is so inappropriate.
What do you want? I'm a 13-year-old boy."
"Oh my god. That's a dead end." "You're up, Eagle. What's your plan?"
"Well, this is happening. I'd like to look around on the ground for any signs of activity down here."
What do you mean by that? Like, you're looking for, like, footprints and stuff?"
"Any sign that anything's been through here. Yeah, like, is it covered in a dust? Is there any, like, leaves or debris that's come down, like, blown down in here that's been kicked about, or is it kind of laying?"
"No, it's kind of laying like you would expect. Like, yes, there is some dust, there's some leaves and everything that's kind of been kicked down, but there's nothing seems like it's been moved or is necessarily out of place."
"Yeah, like, the leaves haven't been, like, brushed aside, or there's a path."
"Yeah, no, and you're not seeing, like, footprints in the dust or anything."
"Yeah, no broken dust, okay." "I don't know if there's, anything more to see here. What do you think?"
"No, I think we look around elsewhere."
Okay. Jago takes you back up. So you guys are just walking back to town?
"Do we check out the mine?"
"Sorry?"
"Yeah, can we swing by the still not disappeared mine?"
Well, we could, but, you know, it's a fair bit of a walk, and it's kind of on the other side of town, and...
Oh, I understand. You need to get back to work at the mine. Okay.
Wow. Okay. I mean, if that's the way we're gonna play this, then okay. I guess we can head on up over that way. Yeah. So Jocko walks you through town, and you end up. It takes about an hour to walk from the one mine to the other mine.
Oh my God.
So the morning is getting on through. And, yeah, you get to the steel working mine, so you see it's decent-sized structure, which you could actually see from the town. So there is a large building that's effectively right over the shaft itself, which is where the ore and everything is brought up through. And then there's another small house building off to the side, which is where... I believe some of, like, the counterweights would be held and where it might be processed. I don't really know. I'm not a miner. But, yeah, you could see, like, the stack house from the town. As you get over there, and, yep, there's people milling around and working. You hear the machines. Got some machines. It's 1850. I mean, they could use the, like, internal combustion engine to, like, drive certain things and to, like, pull ore up out of the ground and whatnot. Listeners, for those of you who are paying attention, the reason I'm skeptical about this is because Mike is a mechanical engineer and probably knows way more about this than I do. And I am just an idiot who's making it up on the spot, so... Yep.
Are both of these mines owned by the Montreal Mining Company?
Yes, sir.
Any bad blood between the two different mines?
Well, no, not at this moment. We both just working hard to keep our output numbers high, you know.
Company ever favor one mine over another?
Sorry?
Does the company ever favor one mine over the other? Like, one mine gets bonuses and the other loses them?
No. See, the company is really, really good and fair, and they distribute the, you know, they distribute the positive and negatives of both mines across both together. So, if anyone...
Both being like a true middle manager.
Yeah.
Any stories or anything of people seeing anything or anything unusual around the area?
I mean, half the people in town are drunks or hunters, and they're always saying they see weird shit all the time.
I want the examples. Give them to me.
Just well,
one
ask.
One guy came.
No, I want it from Drago.
One guy came back one time and swore he saw an 8-foot tall moose.
That's real.
You know, one of the other times, one of the guys said he caught a fish that was like at least 6 feet long and weighed probably close.
That one's not real.
Pounds. And I mean that's just from like the white people that are up around these parts. If you want real,
whoa.
You go talk to the natives that are, you know, around here sometime. There's a local guy in town, goes by the name of Defago, who, if you really want to hear some weird stories, I'm sure he's got some.
Where is he?
Well, he usually hangs out at the tavern in town from time to time. If we're lucky, we might catch him there today.
I turn around and start walking towards the tavern.
Okay, it's going to be a long walk. He looks from Egil to Ingrid and is just kind of like, what are we going?
Yeah, I'll take off after.
Okay.
Hope you're wearing your running shoes, Jago.
Okay, yeah, you get back. The tavern in town is a, it's effectively, like, half of the company store. So the general store in town is a company store. Side is where you would buy, groceries, clothes, things like that. And then kind of on the other half of the building is a small, bar of sorts. You walk in, it is now, like, just after 12 o'clock at noon. The place is pretty much empty. There's kind of two groups of people sitting at some tables. There's a group of kind of larger-looking white guys with beards. And, there's four of them sitting at a table, and there's another table with a lone, native-looking guy, and that's kind of it.
To yell into the bar. Defago? Does anyone turn and look at me?
The native guy, like, looks up.
Defago?
Kind of like looks side to side and just kind of like, sure.
I go sit.
Hello?
I hear you have stories of the strange things that happen around here.
I mean, sometimes.
Please give to me the stories.
Well, the weirdest one that I've heard lately, someone in the tribe was telling me that up near 50 Island Water right now, they apparently found a massive building that had been smashed to shit.
A massive building that was smashed? Like, a building that was there before that got smashed, or suddenly a massive building just appeared?
There's no buildings up in 50 Island Water normally, so.
How far away is 50 Island Water?
Well, it's probably about a day's hike. There's some paddling that you gotta do to get up there.
Jago, can you take us to 50 Island Water?
No, ma'am. I got a family and stuff to, like, take care of.
Defago, do you have a family to take care of, or can you take us?
No, I don't have a family anymore.
Well, that's good. That means you've got time to take us?
He, like, kind of pauses while staring at you, seems to think very hard about it for a bit, and is just kind of like, I mean, I'd rather not.
But, like, will you? Please.
All right. But you're going to pay me when we get back.
Okay, what do you want to be paid?
You're going to pay me the equivalent of, I don't know, $50?
$50? Okay, let's go. Jago, can you scrounge up $50 for us? We'll get it on our way back. Bye!
No, we're not. We're not going right now. What do you hold? Hold up. Hold up. The first part is an 8-hour paddle we got to do. There's no point in leaving until first thing.
Well, you
tomorrow.
Were very unclear about that.
Look, fine. You're gonna spend the rest of the day gathering supplies, getting ready to go. We'll meet back here at first thing tomorrow morning, 600, and we'll go from here. Okay.
How's that sound, Egil?
Let's go hunt the building.
Okay.
Cool.
Sounds good.
Okay, anything you guys want to do for the rest of the day?
Rest.
Yeah. I will put my feet up on another chair at the bar and ask DeFago to tell me more stories.
And I will leave.
DeFago kind of looks at Ingrid and like stands up from the table and starts walking out. He's just kind of like, ma'am, I've got a lot of stuff to get prepared for tomorrow, so I'll tell you when we're like traveling, okay?
Okay. No, it's fine. I had stuff to do anyway. It's chill. I'll find some. I had plans. I gotta go too, and I'll leave.
All right. You spend the rest of the day resting. There's not a ton that kind of goes on in the town, obviously. So it's pretty chill, pretty easy. As the day kind of starts to wind down and the sun is going down, it starts to snow a little bit, just like a little bit. Mike, you look like you had a question.
Yeah, I was just thinking, as people are kind of like coming back into town for the day,
mm-hmm.
Eagle would like to make his way back over to the bar.
Okay.
And he'd like to strike up some conversations about what people think about the missing mine, what happened to it, how they're faring with it gone.
Cool. Okay. So you sit down at a table with a group of about 4 miners. You can tell that they're miners because they're kind of very dirty, covered in like soot. There are varying ages, and when you ask about how people are kind of feeling about the missing mine, what they think might have happened, the older ones are basically kind of seeming to toe a line of more, the company probably got rid of it. It's I'm sure it's all some big insurance scheme, since that's insurance is the newest thing. They never wanted that mine to really run. It couldn't, it couldn't bring more than a donkey's weight in copper up a day. So they probably just realized it was easier to cut their losses and make the claim. And, it makes total sense. I mean, it's what I would do if I owned the mine and blah, 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 blah.
You commit insurance fraud?
Of course. The younger people sitting at the table are kind of saying more like, no, I bet it was, something crazy, like, I've heard about these kind of tornadoes that, immediately appear in, like, a single place, and they just destroy a, single building, and then kind of, like, disappear type thing, like, it's this weird freak weather phenomenon and such, and blah, blah, blah. Of course, the older guys are kind of like, well, then why isn't there any debris around the site, you idiots? You're kind of like, oh yeah, I guess that kind of makes sense. Like, I don't know, it the pressure was different enough, and the winds whipped around, and it threw it up way high in the air, and it landed somewhere way far out of town. We'd probably never find it. Or...
Eat that mine.
Yeah.
Another one of the younger looking ones who's been sitting there with his beer, just with a 1,000-yard stare the whole time, is just like. Aliens.
Point.
Did you see a tornado when this when it
well,
disappeared?
Well, no, of course not.
Did you see an alien?
don't never see the aliens, ma'am. That's why there's that's why they're so crafty.
So you saying that other mine didn't produce much ore?
Oh, heck no. No, no, it was... hadn't been running very long, and when it did run, it was...
Are those other guys...
Did they throw it down? Spider controllers. Sorry.
No worries. Are the other guys still in here, the ones who were here at lunch?
No, they've moved on.
Jago around by any chance?
Yeah. Yeah, he's sitting at another table.
Hey, Jago. These guys say your mine wasn't very, didn't produce anything.
True? He comes over and he claps you on the shoulder and is just kind of like, oh, no, you know, they're just... Yeah, there is Big Bob over here is always just talking a big game of his mine. It's fine, he, you know... No harm, no foul, right, Bob? And Bob's just kind of like... Urgh.
Is Jago drunk?
No.
Okay. Did you commit insurance fraud?
No. What? How? What is insurance fraud? How would I commit insurance fraud? I mean,
By destroying, like, an example of insurance fraud would be, like, say, somebody had a business that had a building and it wasn't very profitable, so they got rid of the building and pretended like it was a freak accident so that the insurance company would pay them money.
Now, I see where you're going with this. I understand why you would bring it up. But the problem with your idea is that I don't own the mine. So if there was insurance fraud committed, I wouldn't be the one to...
Whoa. I didn't say anything about the mine. I'm just saying, would you commit insurance fraud?
Is there a company man in town?
Well, I mean, the only company man in town is what did I name her? It's Lori, the town manager.
The company woman.
I forget. What did she tell us about that?
Would she commit insurance fraud? Do you think?
I mean, she might.
Cool.
Okay. What do you guys want to do?
Turn in.
Cool.
Bedtime. I hop up on the top bunk.
As the sun starts to go down, there's a little bit of snow that starts to fall. And as the night creeps on and gets heavier, you hear the wind pick up and it just kind of creates an incessant howling throughout the night. But I assume both of you sleep fine throughout it. It's not really, you know, actually that big of a deal. Cool. You wake up in the morning and there is a small kind of thin blanket of snow on the ground, and you get to the tavern just before 0600, and a DeFago is there with a big backpack on.
Nice.
I'm like, okay, you guys ready? You got all your stuff?
Sure am. I got everything I own right here.
Tap my rifle.
Great. All right, well, let's go. He leads you up to the northern part of town, and you get to the bank of a river, which seems to continue going north. He pulls out, he pulls a tarp off of something just kind of hidden in the bush, right on the kind of riverbed. And you see a long birch bark canoe, which he then guides into the water. Just kind of like, all right, who's getting in first?
I'll hop in.
All right, Eagle, you getting in, or are you gonna push the boat in? What's the plan here, buddy?
Oh yeah, okay, I'll get in.
I'm gonna decide how long you can stand there before he's like, just kidding, no boat.
Sorry, there's a boat.
Maybe it's disappeared mysteriously.
Nope. And you get in, and so there's two paddles. DeFargo sits at the back, kind of steering the canoe, and I'm assuming whoever you both kind of maybe rotate for whoever's paddling up in the front. You start on your way, and it is a hard day of paddling. The river keeps going north, and you paddle on the river for about 8 hours, going against kind of the natural flow of the river. Because you're going kind of away from Lake Huron, which is where this river would have come down and, you know, emptied into. And after about 8 hours, you reach a shore. DeFargo brings the canoe up against it, and I'm just gonna like, all right, well, we gotta continue on foot from here. So, everybody out.
Everybody
jumps out of the boat.
Pop out.
He puts it into the bush again. Flips it over, puts it into the bush, puts tarp over it again, and then takes out a little hatchet and kind of like puts some marks in the tree. And he looks at both of you and is just kind of like, now, just in case anything happens with any of us, this is the mark for where the boat is located. Okay? Under protocol. Okay? Okay. And he starts leading you through the woods, notching the trees again just to kind of keep a very consistent... a very consistent kind of line through the bush. As he marches you kind of a little bit deeper into the forest, the canopy has not allowed the snow to come down, so it's still fairly kind of green down here. The ground is full of leaves, and you're seeing some more colorful foliage. There's some maples and oaks. But, you know, kind of taller trees, like more pines, which are shading some birches and hemlocks as you're walking through. You walk for a couple of hours, so we'll say probably about 3 hours. And then DeFargo stops as you crest the hill. He's just kind of like, well, this is the area you were looking for. So about 11 hours have gone past, so you're looking at probably about another hour of daylight. But he shows you as you kind of crest the ridge, you see, a clearing kind of open up below, and you see an area full of a bunch of lakes. The lakes, which definitely looks like probably more than 50, or 50 islands in between at least, sit in this kind of low plain. They're surrounded by forest, and these islands kind of pop up in between them. And the snow is kind of, again, in a bit of a small layer on all of the islands, and sits, I'm in the wrong Twitch. Oh, great. Thanks, DSC. And it is kind of still falling out into the other clearings and sitting on top of the trees. So yeah, DeFargo is kind of like, I don't think we have enough daylight to really go looking, but we should probably set up camp tonight.
Mm-hmm. I'll go with setting up camp.
Cool. All right. So he sets up camp. Oh, also, sorry, I do just want to note. Nope, I was logged in as Rob. Oh, great. God, Jocelyn, you're just making everything complicated, eh? Sorry, it sounds like you're having a difficult time there. The other thing that you notice when you're looking out over the clearing too is just that large parts of the forest have been blackened. And DeFago, kind of assuming, being asked about it. He mentions it's just really due to annual kind of burnings that occur. There's nothing kind of nefarious about it, but, you know, as the forests kind of continue to grow and grow and grow, they end up getting choked. And if a forest gets choked, it stinges growth. And so naturally kind of every year, bits of the forest end up catching on fire and burning for a little bit, to kind of support new growth. So you do just kind of see a section of forest which has been basically reduced to charcoal by this point.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound good.
So, camp has been set up. You've got some, a couple of tents. Or, no, maybe just one tent. We'll say one tent. Why not? That's fun. Because I'm assuming DeFago looks at the two of you and is like, so did you guys bring a tent?
I just look at Egil.
Luckily, mine is big enough to fit all of us. Great.
Egil will begin laying out his bedroll.
It is too cold for you to sleep outside, good sir. Anyway.
I will go into the tent that he brought.
I will also crawl into his tent.
He gets a fire going and kind of makes some food and kind of, I don't know, hangs out with you guys for a little bit.
I'm going to go to sleep as soon as we've made camp.
Great. Okay. You hear a little bit later then the fire kind of being put out, DeFago entering the tent.
How big is this tent?
Not very big. With the three of you in it, it is...
For just like sardines?
It is stuffy. Nice and warm.
Egil's sleeping in the middle.
Okay.
But you hear him come in, and he starts... cozies in, falls asleep. Then, a couple hours later, ye both are awoken by something that it sounds like muffled crying
inside the tent.
It's inside the tent.
I'm gonna try and peek without making it obvious I'm looking.
I'll go back to bed.
Okay, Ingrid, you see DeFago, like, curled up, like, shoving blankets into his face, trying to, like, muffle the crying. Muffle the sounds of him crying.
Hey, buddy, you all right over there?
He doesn't respond.
I nudge Egil, and I'm like, hey, do you think you could check on DeFago? I think he's sad.
No.
I will crawl over Egil and just tap on DeFago's shoulder.
He does not respond.
I intentionally knee Egil in the kidney on my crawl over.
He still doesn't respond, though. He just kind of keeps crying.
kind of crawl over and look him in the face, and I'm like, hey! Hey, DeFago!
He seems to, like, not see you, if that's possible. Like, he's, like, looking through you. But then as soon as you say that, he, like, closes his eyes and falls asleep.
I crawl back across Eagle. And I'm like, hey, Eagle. That was really weird, right?
Go to sleep.
Okay. And I go to sleep.
Okay. Now, just before dawn, you guys are awoken again. So dawn would be about 7 o'clock, 7:30, I think we said. I know what you... I heard what you said, Zoe. That's funny. You're funny. And suddenly, you're awoken by, like, this very deep, resonant hum that you seem to be hearing.
Okay.
And then you hear a sound that just says, DeFago. It sounds like falling trees and rustling and crushing leaves. Running like, water.
Like, when you say that, do you mean like, as in the nature is making these sounds? Or like something's coming this way making these sounds?
Like
crashing trees.
No, like those, like the voice sounds like those things mixed together.
Gotcha. Yep.
And as soon as he hears the voice, DeFago sits up, like violently, and then basically stands and bolts out of the tent.
Yeah, I'll do the same with my rifle in hand.
Yeah, I will follow, because I'm not staying here by myself.
Okay. So, assuming it still at least takes you a second to kind of react and follow, the second you get out of the tent and kind of look left, look right, DeFargo's gone.
Yo, did he just ditch us?
Like, you can't hear him from anywhere. You can't see where he went, necessarily. And as the two of you kind of stand there in disbelief, you both get effectively smacked in the face by the most, like, acrid smell that you have ever experienced in your life. It's like... the base of it smells like molding leaves. So it's actually kind of like sweet, maybe a little bit kind of calming, but it's mixed. It's got this overlay of just a very acrid tinge of sweat. And it is intense. Ew. So both of you are going to need to roll a fear check for me because it just comes out of nowhere and smacks both of you.
Fear check. How do I do a fear check again?
I believe it is empathy, or what was the other one? Guys, we're supposed to know this by now.
Yeah, probably.
Fear.
Logic or empathy.
Okay. There it is.
Please, logic.
Add dice to the number of players. Players who are broken or terrified don't count.
Yes, so you both get one extra.
I got extra? Two successes.
And a success is a six?
Yeah.
Yes.
I got zero successes.
Oh!
Yeah. Okay. Now, what happens with that, then, Eagle?
Eagle, no! He's scared.
Yeah, you guys have never lost a fear check before, though, so I'm not used to this. Oh, Mike, you become terrified.
Excellent.
Terrified.
So roll a six-sided die.
Six. Got a six.
Oh, there's your six.
So that is six rounds to regain control.
Okay.
So you get to choose. Do you flee, freeze, faint, or attack?
Oh, I am attacking.
Attacking what, though?
I don't know, but I'm attacking it.
Don't you dare kill the man that brought us here.
I will
file wildly into the underbrush if I have to.
Oh, so my God.
It basically says, if there are no enemies nearby, you explode in a fit of rage and start breaking things around you.
There you go. So,
just starts attacking trees.
Just Eagle punching trees.
Yeah, for like six rounds. So this is for like a good
shooting trees.
So a good like 10 minutes, he's just like attacking trees around you.
Basically, he's jumping.
Bro, it looks so goofy.
Yep. Okay, as the sun is just starting to rise, an Eagle gains control of himself and sees how many holes he put into the trees.
How many holes?
I don't know. How many times could he reload his gun?
I don't know. How long does it take to, to reload my rifle? Quite a few, I would think.
Depends on what kind of rifle it is.
I don't know if it's a repeater, but...
I wouldn't
yeah,
think
okay.
so.
I don't know, we'll say fine. He fires off, like... 10,
well,
15
six rounds
bullets.
Six shots, isn't it?
Hmm?
6 rounds would be 6 shots?
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
A lot of holes.
Okay.
Does DeFargo come back?
No.
What do we do, Eagle?
The two of you standing around near the tent.
Have I calmed down yet?
Yes.
Oh, what was that over there? I shoot another one.
It's DeFargo.
I would like to look for DeFargo's tracks.
Okay. You go off trying to find them, and you do end up finding a set of tracks a little ways from the tent. The thing, though, is you don't find one set of tracks, you find two.
Oh.
That are walking.
Dun, dun, dun.
One set is definitely human, and based on your experience with the man, they seem to be about the size of DeFargo's feet. The other set, are basically just, like, very round, like, circles that seem to be, like, moving. Yeah, there's these weird round, like,
stick.
But there's like, two. It's a set of these poops.
How big?
Fairly big.
How big is fairly big?
He had a horse.
Like 4 inches in diameter?
Okay.
Are you following them?
Yeah.
All right. So you follow, and as you're continuing to follow beside them, you start noticing that the gate between tracks for both sets starts to increase. Like, the gap between each step seems to get longer and longer. Up to, like, an absurdly long, like, 16 feet between one and the other. But it's still, like, it's like a step, and then 16 foot later, it's another step for, like, both sets. And as you continue to follow, the weirder thing is that you notice that the human set of footprints, Defago's footprints, they're starting to change. They're actually turning into smaller versions of the other set. So the foot starts to lose definition and kind of becomes rounded like the other one. And at the same time, the footprints of the other set are starting to take on a weird reddish tinge. And I think that means you need a fear test, because... Well, actually, we'll do it then at that point. The tracks are gone. They're suddenly gone.
Are there other signs of travel through here?
No.
Broken, stepped on branches?
Nope.
Disturbed leaves or...
No, so these tracks you were following were tracks in the snow.
Yeah.
But otherwise, no. Like, you were... When you were following the tracks, you were seeing breakages through the foliage that match kind of what you were expecting with the traversal through. But when you get to the end of the prints, none of that... all of that's gone, along with the tracks.
Eagle's gonna try and pick up the trail again.
Okay. Yeah, can't find it again. And I think both of you need to roll a fear test, because the trail is gone. Speed of change. There's a lot that's been going on here.
I still think they've just disappeared. They're not disappeared. They're just missing them. I'm missing something. That's all.
4 successes.
0.
What? Can he have some of mine?
No, actually, yeah, no, I think he could.
6.
No, we're gonna say that Zoe gave you some successes. Because, jeez. Okay. As you guys are still looking, though, you suddenly hear his voice from very high overhead, and it's very thin. Yeah, Mike, Jocelyn's asking why you weren't just cheating, basically. No one can see your dice, dude.
Because it's more fun this way.
Yeah, that's true. And you hear him say, "Oh, my feet of fire, my burning feet of fire." Almost like he's whimpering.
Defago, is that you?
You call out to him, and suddenly, not too far from you, but over in the bush, you hear something fall to the earth.
My left, my right.
I run to the sound.
Okay. As you start running to the sound, you hear whatever fell starting to take large, lumbering steps through the trees towards you.
Do I see anything?
Before you can fully see, so it looks like Defago. Whatever is moving towards you is kind of shambling. It almost looks like it's moving as though pulled by wire.
Hey.
And it suddenly starts to speak to you, and you hear him. You hear it saying, like, "Oh, guys, it's me, guys." Except his voice sounds different. It sounds more like it has overtones of trees falling in the forest.
Hey.
Approaching you, you're starting to smell the stench again.
I'm just gonna... Yeah. Defago, are you still gonna take us to that messed up building?
Yeah, if you guys still really, really want to go, it's fine. And as you see, he kind of like breaks through the forest, and you get a full view. And even though he's been talking to you as he breaks through the wall of trees, he's talking to you, but his lips aren't moving. And it suddenly looks like. He looks different. It looks as though, like, the skin of his face is, like, stretched and is sagging in weird various places. It's almost like somebody took a different skeleton and put Defago's skin over top of it.
Hey.
He kind of approaches the two of you.
Some sort of Edgar suit.
Yep.
I want to keep backing away.
Okay.
I'm going to stay where I am and let Defago approach.
Okay. Well, did you guys want to go check that place out? We can totally go do that.
Yes, it's very important that we see this place, if you can still take us.
Okay, yeah, sure, no problem. It's just, like, over there. And he kind of, like, points, in a direction off to the one side. It's like, come on, gang, let's do it, and he kind of starts to, like, shamble over that way.
I will follow him.
It's, like, perpetually, like, falling.
You coming, Egu? He'll catch up. It's fine.
Okay. Yeah, he's just slowly making his way through the woods, bringing you towards the house.
All right, I'll follow.
You're following, and he's like, you're still continuing to get a better look, and like so the man that left you when he was at the camp was a decently muscular, fit man of probably about mid-30s, right?
For some reason I was thinking he's more like his mid-50s.
Sorry.
He's a relatively young man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
This person in front of you, though, does not seem to fit with that still. So not only, like I mentioned, does his skin seem to not fit properly, but it seems like he's lost in a ton of weight. His muscle tone is just gone now, effectively. Almost as though he's lost, like, just a significant amount of body mass. And Eagle, as you're following along... Eventually, at some point, you're gonna,
rifle raise.
I'm assuming, look down and notice that his feet are gone.
They're in
how is he
place
walking?
Of his feet. Nubs.
as he shambles, you basically notice he's stumbling around on what look to be stumps of his exposed tibias.
The tibias.
And as you watch, he's leaving those kind of weird circular tracks.
Trust him.
He's still shambling forth.
I keep following.
Yeah. Starting to kind of go up a small hill. Come on, guys. It's just over here. I'm telling you. We got this.
Thanks, Defago.
I will also continue to follow, rifle raised.
Great. Hey, Eagle, remember when I told you about, you know, you heard about how great this like place is for moose and stuff? I think if you like look over there, you might see some that are really worth hunting. You know, it's okay. I'll show Ingrid the place over here. Don't worry about it.
I don't take my eyes off him.
Why is he trying to get me alone? Defago.
Well, okay, fine. I mean, you don't trust me then. It's whatever, it's no big deal.
I have a chef bag at home, sir.
as you both crest the ridge, see what look to be blasted out remains of what you suspect to be the mine house and the equipment that would have come with both of the buildings. It looks as though they were basically like dropped, because they've effectively like collapsed in on themselves.
Wouldn't they be kind of splayed out?
I guess, yes. That would make more sense.
Hey, Defago, does anyone know, like, how this got here? Or have any theories, I guess?
No, no idea, man. Like, never seen anything like this happen, that's for sure. Hey, do you guys bring any food? Are you hungry? I'm kind of hungry.
We got food, don't we? What do we got?
Check my rifle and make sure that it's
yes, it is still loaded.
I go over to Eagle's bag because he carries the rations, and I start rummaging. What do I find for rations?
Probably what, deer jerky?
Yeah, we have deer jerky.
I don't know. I'm not really feeling that. I think I need something a little bit fresher.
I'm raising that rifle.
Like, should we look for some, like, partridge or pheasant or... Oh, you mentioned moose. Why don't we all look for some moose together?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that.
Tony's speaking in. Lead the way, Defago. You know where the moose are.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you guys can see, but I'm not really the most effective hunter right now, sadly.
Why not?
No, we just need you to take us to the area, and we'll take care of it.
Well, okay. There's a clearing just, you know, beyond the building here and stuff, but I thought you guys would have wanted to see the building somewhere. I thought that's the whole reason you came out here, right?
We saw it, but you're hungry. Right?
Oh yeah, I mean, but always hungry. We're always hungry, right?
Okay, well, why don't you like forage for some stuff while we poke around?
Sure. Yeah, that sounds good. He like kind of goes off into the woods in another direction.
I'm gonna follow him.
Trying to poke around the building.
Okay.
I think I'm safe as long as Eagle's got eyes on that guy.
Let's poke around the building then first, sure.
I sit down, I start writing a letter to Jacques. With a weird experience I just had.
There's this dude, he had no feet, I don't know what to think anymore.
He just kept trying to get Eagle to leave me alone with him. It was real weird, my dude.
Okay. But otherwise, yeah, with the building, there's not much to see, really, like, as Mike kind of came to the conclusion of, right? Like, they look like they were effectively dropped, so they've kind of splayed out. And that's really, there's no real, like, there's nothing else that you can really kind of ascertain about them.
There's no, like, markings on them or anything that would signify, like characters or, like, runes or anything.
No, there's definitely none of that.
Do I get a vibe from the building? An energy?
I mean, you get the vibe that it was dropped.
Cool. There's no, like, remnants of anything odd, like furs or feathers or...
Nope.
Blood or...
Nope.
Sparkles, glitter.
Nope, none of that.
Cool. Do I see Egil if I look around?
You do. They haven't gone that deep into the forest.
Okay.
I'll
try and catch up with Egil.
And the shambling boy is kind of going through a bit of the thickest of trees.
I'll walk quickly to catch up.
And I'm assuming you're like following from a bit of a distance, right? Because you're.
Oh yeah. I want to be like back a ways.
Yeah.
COVID's not here yet, but he is social distancing.
He gets to like a tree trunk, and then he kind of like stops. It's a bit of like a wider oak tree, we'll say, and he seems to kind of like. Crouch down at the base of it. You can't hear him or see what he's doing, but he stays down there for a little bit.
Second set of tracks. I'm going to say to Ingrid, there was a second set of tracks.
Second set of tracks now?
When we were following him.
I will put my back to Eagle and look behind us.
You see nothing.
Yep.
Except the building that's smooshed.
I also look up.
You see the sky. Beautiful, beautiful sky.
Cool. I keep my back to Eagles.
Okay. After a little bit of time, you see Defago stand back up. He kind of like wipes his mouth on his arm and starts to shamble back towards you guys.
Back away.
Okay.
I feel Eagle push on my back. I will step forward.
He comes out of the tree line into whatever kind of clearing you guys are standing in-ish. And he kind of looks at you and he's just like, oh, thanks. I feel much better about that. Did you guys find whatever it is you needed here?
No.
Well, that's too bad. Can I help with anything else?
Hey, go.
Yep.
Feet go?
What?
Your feet?
What? I don't know what you're talking about. My feet are right here, and he kind of like looks down. And then he looks back up at you guys and just kind of like... Yeah. And then suddenly he, like, in a flash, runs in just a completely different direction.
Out of fire.
Go ahead.
Oh, how do I do this again? Oh, no. I roll. Oh, okay, this is...
He's moving,
range,
he's moving inhumanly fast, especially for a person without feet.
Yep, that's what I, oh my god, I get so many dice for this.
Roll those dice! Shoot him! I feel bad, I kinda like Defago.
So do I. Sorry, I'm just looking for my talent.
Your talent was the whole, like...
Marksman.
Hunting.
No.
Marksman? Yeah.
I know.
You had the option of Bloodhound, Herbalist, or Marksman.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you got Marksman, which was gain +2 to ranged combat.
Yeah,
on the
I think
first
that's...
round.
Oh, it's only on the first round, is it?
On your first round when successfully ambushing or attacking your enemy.
Well, that feels like what this is to me.
DSC, shoot him!
shoot him!
Right, that is only 2 successes. Jeez.
Okay.
It's only 6s, right? 5s don't count.
Yeah,
this
no,
one?
Just 6s.
Yeah.
You shoot, and you hear the bullet embed into a tree, like just behind where he was a second ago.
What's the +2? Is that 2 extra die?
Yeah.
Okay.
And suddenly, you guys are left alone in this clearing.
I'm gonna reload.
Okay.
I'm gonna listen for movement.
You don't hear movement. You hear birds in the trees. You hear not much else because everything is starting to hibernate for the winter.
I'm gonna slowly make my way over to where we saw him last.
Like where he went into the trees?
Where he bolted from.
Oh, okay. Sure. So you head over that way and you can see the tracks he left.
Yeah, I wanna see.
And again, they're kind of gaining that weird inhuman distance between them. And if you follow them after about 10 steps or so, they're gone.
Look up.
Okay. You don't see anything in the trees.
Do I see anything? Yeah, in the sky.
No, not that you can see him to notice. Also, the whole time he was there, there was the smell, and the smell has disappeared again.
Defago!
He does not come when called this time. Nothing happens.
Where did we get him back last?
Last time we wandered around following his tracks, and then he came from the sky. And drop down. We heard his voice saying something about his feet burning or something.
I want to go look at what he ate.
Okay. You follow back into the trees and you find the base of the oak tree where he was. And when you look down, it looks like something's been hastily buried into the snow. But when you kind of clear it away, you find what appears to be a human forearm.
Where did he get? I looked out, make sure I have both my forearms.
You have both your forearms.
Okay. We don't
Is
recall
there any
anything.
Other?
Sorry.
Body parts around? Are there any other body parts around?
You search in a small area around it. You don't find any.
Seeing anything weird about Defago's arms?
No, not when you saw him before, other than, again, just kind of the skin seems stretched and sloughing in weird places, and he didn't seem to have any muscle tone or definition, really, to his arms. And this arm that you found is, like, gnawed, like, half of the flesh has been, what looks to be, like, eaten off. You see the bone in the middle of it. There's still a lot of meat on it.
Where the heck would he get this forearm?
Also, you can tell it's probably human because it's got a hand on it still.
Any rings or anything on it?
Nope.
Don't look mine.
Oh, Mike?
I want to go take a look at the building.
Okay. So like I was saying with Zoe before, I guess the only thing upon, you know, continued inspection that you might start to notice is that it looks as though, like, the wood around what would have been the top of the stack tower kind of has buckled inward. Like, it looks as though it had been basically kind of crushed in all the way around. And then on the other building, it's like part of the top wall had been pushed inward and, like, yanked up from there. That's really all you can tell from there.
If I take a look around the area...
Mm-hmm.
For tracks again, but I want to readjust what my idea of a track is to be big.
You don't find any other ones. Right, now I do want you to keep in mind that with snow over the last 2 days,
right,
depending on whenever this thing was dropped, the tracks are, if there are any potential tracks anywhere, they're probably covered.
What time is it by now?
Well, it's been a hell of a morning, so we're going to say it's, I don't know, noon.
Has the snow started melting at all?
No, it's cold enough that it's still hanging out.
Do we keep looking for Defago, or do we go back and try and find large tracks from the mining area space?
We don't know what brought this here yet.
What's that?
We don't know what brought the mine building.
Yeah.
And that worries me.
I think Fago's got something to do with it. Whatever's in Defago's skin.
Did lure us out here. I'm gonna take another look around.
Okay. Looking for anything in particular?
Signs of movement amidst the trees and brush?
Nope. Nothing at this point.
Remember that clearing he wanted you to go in to look for moose? Think there's anything going on over there?
I was thinking about going back to where he first found him.
Let's do that.
Okay. You're here before.
Sorry, what was that?
It looks the same as it did when you were here before.
I'd like to go to where he fell out of the sky.
Okay. You walk through the brush and you find where it looks like he fell into. There's a big...
Like, is it like a crater type thing in the snow?
Yeah.
Is the snow deep enough that there's a direction of the impact crater?
I mean, no, but I would say you basically get the sense that he fell straight down.
And if I look up?
You see breaks in the branches all the way down.
I want to go back to our tent.
All right. Takes you a little bit to walk back to the tent. And when you clear back through it, you see somebody sitting at your fire.
Does it look like Defago?
It does look like Defago, and it looks like he is back to normal. Turns around and looks at the two of you, and it's just kind of like, hey.
Hey. Does he have feet?
You don't smell anything. He does have feet.
How long you been here, Defago?
I just got back. You know, Ingrid, you know how you were talking about asking about weird stuff out here?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you that I can confirm that I definitely seen the bleeding Wendigo.
Did you know?
And that's where we're gonna end it for today.
Oh my god! Bleeding Wendigo.
Yep. No questions. No nothing yet. We're gonna cut it off there on a nice cliffhanger, because I like to frustrate everybody. There you go. Did you guys have any comments or questions before we shut it down for
you
the day?
You said none.
Well, these aren't about this or the game. I take all comments like, wow, Cody, that was really great. I really appreciate that.
No, that was excellent. Loved it. I am very excited to find out what we find next. But I will point out, we were successful tonight. We have located the mine.
You did locate the mine.
The most productive Cody has ever seen us in one session.
That's right.
Yes, for these two characters who do not want to talk, of course.
But you didn't see that coming, Cody.
I didn't. I'm very surprised. I appreciate you guys a lot.
He thought we'd still be back at the bar.
Well, I think it's been quite a successful night here on Corporate Crash Course. Thanks to everybody who came out to listen in. I hope you enjoyed it. This was a fun one to come up with and to put together. Still a lot of mystery left, which I'm looking forward to. You can find us on YouTube and Twitch at Corporate Crash Course or CCCRPGs on Twitter and Instagram. Again, I've been Cody, your game master, and on behalf of Zoe and Mike, thank you guys, and we'll see you next week, hopefully. Bye.